This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raiders podcast. I'm your host, JT. The Raiders get set to take on the Denver Broncos this Sunday, December 13th at Sports Authority Field at Mile High. The Broncos, the host team with a 10-2 record in the driver's seat in the AFC West. And the Raiders coming off their loss to Kansas City with a record of 5-7. We got a big podcast lined up for you this week. We'll talk to Darren McKee. He's a sports talk host known as DMAC on 104.3 The Fan in Denver. He is a Broncos insider who covers the team. Also, Bradley Roby, the cornerback for the Broncos, last year was a number one pick out of the Ohio State, and he's making plays for the number one ranked defense in all of football. And I'm thrilled to finally catch up with Vic Tafer, who's a Raider insider for the San Francisco Chronicle. We'll talk to him a little bit later on. Well, Raider Nation, over the last month or so, we've been talking about the Raiders trying to put together a bunch of wins and get into the playoffs or be in contention for the postseason. And the Raiders have stumbled over the last month to 5 weeks. And now, as Jack Del Rio talked about it earlier in the week, it's about one game at a time. It's about getting a win, coming together as a football team, doing something positive, play a complete game against a division rival, and then the chips will fall where they may, and we could talk about a postseason run or what the Raiders would have to do to run the table to get in via the wild card. But when you're looking at the Broncos, you better be ready. The number one ranked defense in all of football, number one against the pass. They do everything right, and they already beat the Raiders this year at O.co Coliseum in Oakland by a score of 16-10 in a game where I thought the Raiders held Peyton Manning to no touchdowns and outplayed the Broncos but couldn't get that win. Raiders had a golden opportunity last Sunday with Kansas City, a division rival, coming to town. They were up 20-14 at the end of the third quarter, but then Kansas City dominated the fourth quarter, outscoring the Raiders 20-0, three interceptions in that quarter by Derek Carr, and the Raiders ended up losing that game. But this is a rivalry game. There is a deep tradition and history between both of these teams. In the all-time series, the Raiders lead the regular season series 59-49-2. And, you know, they only played twice. The postseason record is tied at 1. But the Raiders, I always tell Bronco fans, they've played in bigger games. They've won more Super Bowls. They have more Hall of Famers. They've been ahead in this rivalry. But since Peyton Manning came to Denver, it's been lopsided. But it's not about Peyton Manning anymore. It's actually about Brock Osweiler. And we'll start talking about that as we kick off the official Raiders podcast with Darren McKee, who joins us from 104.3 The Fan in Denver, a good friend and a great sports talk host. And DMAC, let's start off with Osweiler, because I think there's a bit of a controversy. We'll get to that with Peyton Manning coming up. But that win against the New England Patriots was very impressive. What has impressed you most since that win against New England?
Well, it's not flashy, JT. It's just that he delivers what the coaching staff wants. And Gary Kubiak multiple times has said that's how to win the right way. So was winning with Peyton Manning the wrong way? But the stress level around the coaching staff and, frankly, around Dove Valley here in Denver has been decreased in the past 3 weeks. It's obvious that this is the system they've always wanted to work with the quarterback under center. Every running back says it's better. Every lineman says it's better. Brock can run it better. He's a much better athlete than Peyton Manning. And there aren't many boxes that you can check where Manning is better than Brock Osweiler.
I think this is the biggest story going into this game against the Raiders, is the Osweiler-Peyton Manning controversy and what could happen long-term, because my disaster scenario is this, and it's not bad news for Brock. I just believe that if he has one bad game, if it's against the Raiders or somewhere else on the schedule, just one poor, below-average game, that's all Manning's going to need to get back on the field again and then not lose his job because of his experience in the postseason. Is that the only way Manning gets on the field again, is if Osweiler has a bad game?
Well, JT, join the conspiracy theorists out here that are saying the better Brock plays, the worse Peyton's foot feels. And if there is a poor performance, oh, hey, wow, that foot's feeling better and better. I think I'm okay now. Today was an interesting day where the Broncos, it's 60 degrees, nice for December here in Denver, but the Broncos did a walkthrough practice inside. There were rumors that we would be seeing Peyton throw. So they practiced inside. Strange. The press conference today, instead of outside, which they do 99% of the press conferences, will be inside. Do not know why, but we are not going to get to see Peyton Manning practice today or do anything today. So the protective nature surrounding Peyton Manning and what's going on, JT, it's up there, dude. It's up there with the grassy knoll theorist, that's for sure.
D-Mac joins us from 104.3 The Fan in Denver on the official Raiders podcast. One other thing, you were there. We talked about it on both our radio shows when Manning first got there to the Broncos. People, teammates looked on in awe. Fans looked on in awe. They couldn't believe that this godlike football figure was coming there. I would assume that there's still some veterans in that locker room who see the big picture and want Manning back. Or are you telling me that that locker room is all together and they want Osweiler and they buy into Kubiak's decision?
Quick, name me one Broncos veteran that really wants to see Peyton back. Go ahead.
I'm asking you. You know him better than me. You're telling me Aqib Talib, who's played his whole life now wanting to have a Super Bowl ring with Denver, doesn't think in the second round of the postseason, changing the play at the line of scrimmage on 3rd and 12, Manning doesn't have more experience than Osweiler to read a defense and find single coverage?
Well, here's what the defense thinks, to be quite honest with you. You know, I've asked him about it. They like the system the way it is now because they're much more effective running the ball, and it gives the defense a bit more of a breather. I mean, yeah, sure, if Peyton Manning can put up the Star Wars numbers, fine. But if you can't, that's a lot of quick three and outs, JT. And this defense is responding well, getting a little bit of a rest on the sideline, then just doing their thing. In all honesty, are you going to score more than 20 points against this Broncos defense? Not many teams can. And, you know, and I've been impressed by the Raiders, to be honest with you. I think Derek Carr has huge possibilities. Amari Cooper, holy cow. A lot of talent there. And I know I was kind of joking in the beginning, but way too many mistakes late in the game. Silly stuff. But can the Raiders put up 20 points in Denver? I just don't think so. To a certain degree, whatever the Broncos do offensively is somewhat irrelevant. Because the Raiders' defense, although I think it's good, you know, the Broncos will put up, geez, come on, JT, they'll put up 21, 24 points on that defense, and then good luck. And so it's not a flashy way to win. You don't need the best quarterback in the world to win, and a solid manager is probably all the Broncos need, a quarterback. And how funny is it that Peyton Manning is not a solid game manager?
That's what's incredible. Every week I look at the quarterback ratings and see Manning there at the bottom and dead last, and we're all just shaking our heads. No one saw this coming. Let's stay with the Bronco defense. Number one overall, number one against the pass. And you remember in that first game in Oakland, Manning didn't throw a touchdown. I thought the Raiders outplayed the Broncos for most of that game, and then you talked about the Raider mistake and the interception late for the pick six. I look at it this way. Carr in the shotgun and throwing and being a quarterback who's just going to throw the ball deep downfield gives the Raiders the best chance to win. But as you pointed out, that doesn't seem to work well against the number one pass defense. Why is this defense so good on the back end and they continue to get better?
Well, they're really talented in terms of Bradley Roby, Aqib Talib, Chris Harris. But Darian Stewart's been a secret weapon. Free agent that came over from the Ravens instead of a sieve like Raheem Moore. He's been a big, big factor in what's been going on. But of course, JT, your secondary is going to look a lot better when you get a pass rush. And the Broncos' pass rush is second to none. Everybody knows about Von Miller. But when you see what Malik Jackson and Derek Wolfe are doing on inside, and then a free agent, undrafted free agent like Shaquille Barrett, never mind the number one draft pick like Shane Ray, dude, I mean, it's unbelievable. And Phillip Rivers just crumbled under that kind of pressure. And, you know, we'll see what at least Derek Carr can move around a little bit, maybe help himself. But this defense puts you in tough decision-making situations. And that's ultimately what burned the Raiders the first time against the Broncos. There's no doubt that's what cost them against the Chiefs. Every Raiders fan should know you should have beat the Chiefs. And will that stop? I mean, is that going to end? I mean, the pressure from the Broncos isn't going to end. Will the bad decision-making of Derek Carr end late in the game?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the key to this game. Can Carr keep the Raiders in the game long enough to have a chance? The last game, the final score was 16-10, and the Raiders had a chance throughout the game, let alone late in the game, to win. We're talking to D-Mac on the official Raiders podcast. Big picture here with the coaching staff. I want to talk about Kubiak coming in, but also what Jack Del Rio accomplished there when he was the defensive coordinator for 3 years. I thought Del Rio did a hell of a job in Denver putting those game plans together against the AFC West. Talk about Del Rio when he was in Denver and the job you think he's doing with the Silver and Black.
Well, I think he was well received in the beginning, but he got sideways with John Elway at some point in his last year. I mean, really sideways. And when he was flirting with Mark Davis on the sideline a couple weeks near the end of the season last year, that didn't go over well. And his name is Mutt around here at the Broncos facility. Today he said he had, on conference call, he said he had good feelings and is looking forward to coming back. And, you know, his son was the quarterback at Ballard Christian when Christian McCaffrey was winning state titles. And we all know how Christian's doing now, obviously. So there's a lot of, you know, good feelings here, but not amongst the Broncos organization towards him, that's for sure, which I love because I think you can bring back a little bit of that, you know, Broncos Raiders rivalry, that sort of thing. He is not well liked here, JT, because he didn't go out in a great way. But, you know, for a while it worked good.
Yeah, it did.
For a while it was pretty positive. But in the end, it was bad, 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 bad. But it was bad with everybody. It was bad for John Fox with Elway, bad with Del Rio and Elway. Adam Gase didn't get the gig here, and he went off. So you saw a team that went 12-4 but had a horrible playoff appearance against Indy blow everything up. And to think that Manning was ever going to work with Kubiak's system, come on, JT, we're not idiots, right?
Yeah.
It was never going to work, and it didn't.
Hey, D-Mac, finally, for the last couple of years, and we see each other at the Super Bowl, and after Peyton Manning and the Broncos lost to the Seahawks, it felt like time was running out and it's Super Bowl or bust again. But I'm getting a feeling that that's not the case within the Bronco organization anymore, because with Brock Osweiler proving he's the quarterback of the future, and with some of the young talent there, I'm sure a lot of Bronco fans feel that even though Manning's on his way out, that the Broncos are set up to be a playoff team for years to come. And the Raiders, as you know, the Raiders would call Carr and Cooper and the young players, Khalil Mack on this team, believe they're set up to be a perennial playoff team for years to come once they get to the playoffs with this unit.
Well, I think you're right. And if the Seattle model is going as far as you can with that quarterback under a first contract, or at least a minimal contract, with a great defense. So it's a lot easier than finding one of the best quarterbacks of all time, that's for sure, as long as your quarterback's somewhat confident and you have a relatively decent running game. I think the Raiders check those boxes, and I think they're just going to get better and better. And the Broncos are headed down that same path to JT. I look for them to spend bigger money on Von Miller and Malik Jackson or Derek Wolfe rather than their quarterback. I think they'll try to hang on to Brock. He's a free agent, and he's probably making himself millions of dollars every single week, so, you know, good for Brock. But I don't think the Broncos will break the bank. Don't forget, the one guy the Broncos tried to get as a free agent was Tyrod Taylor, who's with the Bills. They tried to sign him as a free agent, and he turned the Broncos down. What does that tell you about the direction they want to go? So where their commitment with Brock is, you know, we'll see. But I don't think anything hinges on that. What's important is the defense and being able to control things and being smart with the cap. And that's the formula here in Denver. And I bet you anything that will be the formula in Oakland, too. It's a smart formula.
Yeah, it's the formula that works. D-Mac, great to talk to you. Thanks for coming on the official Raiders podcast. I'll see you down the road. Good luck with the radio, and thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thanks, JTL. Always, always a pleasure being on with you. I'll talk to you soon.
Broncos defensive back Bradley Roby, who was an All-American in Ohio State and was taken in the first round last year by the Denver Broncos. Bradley, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it this week. And with a 10-2 team, you're riding a three-game winning streak going into this game against the Raiders. It seems like it can't get much better than this.
It does feel good. Can't lie. You know, we have a great record. We're on a three-game winning streak. Come on, keep it going.
What's this run been like? Because it seems like this has been an emotional run with you. As Manning got injured, Brock Osweiler comes in, and your quarterback's been able to handle all the media, and on top of that, winning these games and keeping you guys hot.
Yeah, Brock is a very confident guy, you know, and He brings a lot of energy to the team and all that type of thing. So he's just taking advantage of his opportunities. And, you know, he's been a backup for a while, so he's finally getting his opportunity. So it's great to see him do well in that role, you know.
Well, I think it's incredible what you guys have accomplished this year. Number one defense overall, number one pass defense, and you're a part of that. What has the transition been like for you as a former first-round pick from Ohio State and then to jump into a defense on the back end that has so much depth and great players? How's the fit been?
Yeah, it's been great, you know, especially year two for me. I'm a lot more comfortable, and, you know, I feel like it's a blessing that I got put in a situation with those guys that I play with, because they push me to be the best I can be every day. You know, they hold me accountable. So it's great playing with those guys, and they're fun guys off the field too. So it's a great situation.
Yeah, I think what's great about this for you, we often talk about when you get selected at the end of the first round, you typically get selected by a great team. I'm sure you wanted to go fifth overall, seventh overall, wherever you thought you should go, but maybe it was a blessing in disguise. You're going to a franchise that's been very stable, where you're going to have a job and you're going to be playing with guys who can mentor you at the NFL
Definitely.
Level and coach you up to the next level, right?
Exactly. That's exactly the situation. You know, that's something that I realized early on, and that's something that I saw that I definitely should take advantage of, you know, because I would be dumb not to, you know. So that's really what I do, you know. I take advantage of being around the guys that I play with, you know, and I just have fun and try to make plays and, you know, and get wins.
Bradley Roby joins us from the Broncos, and some turnover with coaches, Gary Kubiak, John Fox. But I wanted to mention Jack Del Rio. You go up against the Raiders on Sunday. For 3 years, even before you got there, he did a really good job making that a tough defense and a defense that was strong statistically. Can you talk about Jack Del Rio and the type of coach he was when you had him?
Jack, he was a great coach. I think he did a good job, you know, helping me transition. Last year, being the first round guy, you know, he kind of pulled me aside, you know, he talked a lot and kind of helped me mature, you know, as a player. So I appreciate Jack a lot. You know, I have nothing bad to say about him. And, you know, I think he's been doing a good job in Oakland. You know, they're a way more competitive bunch than they were last year. You know, they always had the talent, but they kind of didn't have it together, you know, and Jack has them right, you know. So I know Jack's going to come to Denver, you know, this weekend, and really try to get a win, because last time we played them, it was a close game.
Looking at Carr on film with Crabtree and Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper coming in as a rookie and resetting the Raider record books as a rookie wide receiver. When you look at Cooper on film, what does he look like?
You know, Cooper, he's a great young talent. I think he's having a great rookie season. He's very explosive. He's good after the catch. He, you know, he's fast. He does everything you would want your receiver to be able to do, you know. So he's a great competitor as well. So I played him once already, you know, so I look forward to playing him again along with Crabtree and Derek Carr. Derek Carr is having a great second year as well. So I'm interested to play against those guys.
We're wrapping it up with Bradley Roby of the Denver Broncos, defensive back. You know, you got to look at the Raiders. They're the game in front of you. But overall, this race for the number one seed overall, kind of interesting now after beating the Patriots, that the Patriots now lose again to Philadelphia, and they're at 10-2, and Cincinnati having a great year at 10-2. Your record going into this game at 10-2. Can you just touch on how important it is? I know you'll tell me one game at a time, but you got to be thinking big picture, at least for a week one bye week, and hoping to have home field advantage throughout the entire AFC playoffs.
I really, really don't look at it other than 1 week at a time. You know, you can't really look that far ahead. And if we do this and if this team loses a couple more times than this happens, you know, we'll leave that to y'all. You know, we were really just worried about the Raiders, you know, getting wins every week. And when you take it, you know, 1 week at a time, one step at a time aspect, then, you know, you can't go wrong.
How disappointed are you that Ohio State didn't make it into the Final Four coming off the national championship? A lot of fans thought they'd be right back there. Just shows you how tough the Big Ten is and how tough the Big Ten continues to get every year, right?
Yeah, I'm very upset about that, man, especially how they performed the week after versus Michigan. But that's how college football is, you know. You could lose one week and that can ruin the whole year, and that's kind of what makes college football so exciting. So it is what it is, you know. And they got Notre Dame, I believe. I think they'll get a W against them, so I'm not really worried about that.
Hey, finally, at 23 years old, I want you to tell everyone how you're living the dream. From Fort Worth, Texas, to play at Ohio State, now the Denver Broncos. You're such a young man, and you're living this dream. You're traveling all over the country playing football. Who had the biggest impact on you personally? Was it a family member or a coach growing up as a kid?
Just the biggest impact on me as a kid, you know, was my mom, for sure, you know. She's a single parent, so it was me and her. So she's definitely my biggest impact, for sure, if you're talking about that.
Nicely said. I mean, that's the answer, your mom. Your mom had the biggest impact on
right,
your life.
So now I'm living good, you know, and I can take care of her, you know, like she take care of me. So now I'm just playing a game I've always wanted to play, you know, at the highest level and, you know, chasing the Super Bowl. So, you know, it can't get much better than this.
You're living the dream. Bradley, thanks for making time for us. We appreciate you joining us. Good luck the rest of the way.
All right. Thank you, man.
Now it's time for our last guest on this week's edition of the Official Raiders Podcast. He's a great Raider insider covering the silver and black for the San Francisco Chronicle. Vic Tafer joins us. And, Vic, let's begin by the mindset of this team. Your opinion on how this team has recovered or not since the loss to the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think it's good. I think it's primarily a young bunch. I think they want to prove they got, you know, a lot of room to grow still in the rest of the season. So I think it's been positive. I think Derek Carr is not going to hang his head in frustration. I think most of these guys are ready to go on Sunday.
Talk about the loss to Kansas City and tie it into the losses over the last month. What do you think has gone wrong? It's not so much preparation. Jack Del Rio and the coaching staff has them ready to go every week, but execution, especially late in the second half.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, I think his offensive line's kind of getting a little tired, a little worn down as this year has gone on. I think there's been more pressure on Derek Carr and less time in the pocket. And he's made some bad decisions, like last week especially. So I think the O-line, I think, is where it all starts. The running game hasn't really been able to sustain a lot of good carries after the good start last week, but after that kind of fizzled out. So that's what I think the biggest concern is right now.
Is Latavius Murray the answer long-term, in your opinion?
I do. I think it's funny how fans question that, and he actually leads the AFC in rushing. So I think, you know, his first year being a full-time back, I think he's shown a lot of good things. But again, I think the offensive line is not giving him the holes he needs his last three or four games. So I'm a big Murray guy. I think he's a bell cow type running back who only will get better.
Vic Tafer is our guest from the San Francisco Chronicle. Amari Cooper, from seeing you up in Napa and covering him in the preseason, he hit a little bit of a rookie wall or not? Is this a guy who wants the ball? Should he get more targets? Because I thought he disappeared a little bit. He had a few drops over the last month, but he is the go-to guy for Carr. Do you think Carr and Cooper can find their rhythm again over the next couple of games?
I do. I think there is obviously a little rookie wall. I think a lot of teams are obviously game planning for him. So that's a new thing for him being a rookie. I think he's shown some of the good things this year. There were the drops. I think, you know, you got to take those with everything else. I think that's obviously not what you want. But I think he's working on it. You can't question his work ethic. He's kind of a professional veteran's mindset. So I think he'll be fine. I think he and Carr will be fine.
Vic, let's go to the defensive side of the ball and start off on the back end with Charles Woodson on all the interceptions early. How surprised were you by his play, and what is the long-term game plan for the Raiders and Woodson going forward?
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. I think he's obviously got a lot of pride in what he does, and I think he's also been a great leader. I wouldn't say he's had overall a great year. I think in the run game he's kind of been lacking at times, and sometimes even in the pass game, but he makes big plays. He's definitely clutch. Those fumble recoveries in the strip last week shows you he knows how to get the ball. So I think he's been a great guy for young guys to watch. My good feeling is next year he won't be back. I think he'll probably retire at the end of the year. But he said he's open to whatever, but hasn't decided yet. But I think he's going to be done.
Do you believe there needs to be a complete overhaul when it comes to the cornerback position? DJ Hayden has been given ample time and opportunities to start for the Raiders. You think he's back next year?
If he is back, I think he'll be in like a slot, you know, or backup role. I think Anderson definitely, I think, won a job. Obviously need to draft someone next year, sign someone for agency. But I do think the ship is kind of sailing on DJ as far as being the impact guy I thought he'd be when they draft him so high.
What about a grade overall for the linebacker play? You know, Khalil Mack comes off the edge, initially a linebacker, but Smith and Lofton, with the way they've moved players in and out, it's been a next man up philosophy. Do you think that linebacking core needs to be revamped next year?
Good question. I think Lofton is a big free agent guy. I think he's brought some things in terms of the run defense. Definitely, he's great on the goal line stuff. But I think as far as pass coverage and dropping back, and I think he's kind of not the answer right there. So I think you might see Nero on ball next year. They take over a starting role. So I'm not sure if Lofton's back next year. I think they'll have to add someone. But I've been liking the young guys, Ball and Heaney, as far as their ability to run around and make plays. And those two guys will be a big part of the defense next year.
Vic, I know a lot of fans are happy with Dan Williams. What are you hearing within the organization about his play up front with Jelly Ellis and to solidify that defensive line, especially stopping the run at the tackle position?
Yeah, they love Dan. I think he's got a great attitude. He's definitely a guy who brings the lunch pail to work and going to sit there and take the hits from offensive linemen and maintain and keep his spot. I think he's good against the run defense. Has been good all year. So I think Dan Williams has been a nice addition. I think everyone's excited about him being around here for a long time.
Vic, what was it like covering the team up to this point this year? You're always around the team. You have great access in the organization and to the coaching staff. Did you think that this team would live up to the hype? Have they not lived up to the hype? How much left do they have in the tank for these final few games?
Yeah, I thought they'd be around 6-10, which is where they're at. I think definitely they're on the right track with all the different talent. The team definitely bought in with the new coaching staff and Jack Del Rio. Right now it's kind of a rough patch. I think, you know, the defense is probably not up to par for where Jack wants it, and the offense has had some hiccups. So I think it's been a good year. I wouldn't say it's been a great year, but I think it's all about making progress. I think they definitely turned the corner, and things are looking good for next year.
How about the chemistry between Jack Del Rio and Reggie McKenzie? Does that feel right to you long-term within the organization?
It does. I think they both kind of chipped each other into their, you know, defined roles. I think Reggie's going to be the draft guy. I think Jack has more juice as far as personnel moves that other coaches have had before him. So I think they work well together. Obviously, I think Reggie has to have another good draft and probably another good free agency class to get them to the next level. But I think the chemistry's fine.
Vic, last question. What do the Raiders need to do to beat the Broncos? The loss was 16-10 in Oakland. Manning didn't throw a touchdown. Now it's Brock Osweiler. What do the Raiders need to do to get out of Denver with a win?
Open things up. I think you got to go, to Crabtree and Cooper. Try to get some deep balls. I think they have, for some reason, not so as many deep balls as I would like to see them. I think Cooper's shown he can catch those balls. Not your true, speedster down the field type, but I think he can make those plays down the field. So I think open it up and hopefully catch the defense off guard, then come back with Murray after that and kind of grind a victory out.
Thanks for joining us on the Official Raider Podcast, Vic. We really appreciate your time.
All right, bud. Take care.
Thanks again for joining us this week on the Official Raiders Podcast. Next week, we'll get you ready for the Green Bay Packers, one of the most historic teams in North American sports history, coming in to O.co Coliseum. That'll be a big one. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, I'm JT. We'll see you next week as the Packers come to town.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.